Good morning. Welcome. You're all excited and riveted now to be learning all about collections. Yeah, you're all going to be super duper whizzy credit controllers by the time you're finished this. Yeah, some confused faces around the place. I suppose the first thing is congratulations on taking the first step to becoming qualified. Well done. You're probably all in credit collections a lot of years and just never bit the bullet to take the next step. Well, now you have. The hard bit is over, making the decision. Okay, you're here. So what you're going to learn is how to perform at a level of excellence and how to be the best at what you do. So when you're on the phone, getting firm commitment to payment, so knowing how they're going to pay and when they're going to pay every single time. So your bosses will be very happy, I'm sure. Okay? So I'm just here to run through the syllabus and give you an overview of what's expected from you and how the course is going to run. So you're going to learn so much. You'll have a wealth of information once you go through this pack of, you know, how to help you get paid faster with less arguments than before. Do you all find that when you're speaking to your customers that there can be quite a lot of conflict and arguments with them? No? You all have lovely customers. You don't. You guys, you must have terrible trouble with some of them, do you? From the consumer point of view. That's not my bill and that's not my gas and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Moving houses and tenants and all that type of thing. Yeah. So you're going to learn how to deal with all of that stuff. So you're going to go in and have a stress-free day every day from now on. Okay, we're going to cover consumer collections and trade collections. They're both very, very similar, but they're also very, very different. Okay, do you have any trade collections at all, or is it all consumers you guys deal with?
All consumers.
All consumers. Yeah. And I know you're in trade, aren't you? You're in Accenture, aren't you? No? You're what? Yeah, it's trade. You're dealing business to business.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, consumer collections is when you're dealing with people and individuals. So anybody who works for a utilities company, a mobile phone company, a credit card company, that type of thing. It's something you are all consumers. So anything that you guys get credit for would be considered consumer credit. Trade credit then would be business to business. So Accenture, you're dealing with the businesses selling the Xboxes and all that type of stuff. Yeah. That's you guys.
Yes.
So these guys sell Xboxes if anybody wants them. They've got loads of them. Yeah, I'm still waiting on my freebie. I've been asking Paul Daly for an Xbox for years. Yeah. And it's not happening. Okay, so they're both very, very different, and how you approach them is very, very different. Okay, but you will learn this all as we go through the four modules. You're going to learn different techniques to help lower your own stress levels. Wouldn't that be good? Are any of you ever in work every day and you're up to high dough because you've got so much to do, so many calls to make, so much money to collect, and it just feels like it's a thankless job? Okay, you're not disillusioned, everybody around you is. You do the most important job in your business. If your business ran out of money tomorrow, what would happen? They'd close the doors. You guys bring in the money. You pay people's wages. You pay the mortgages, the rent, the light, the heats. You buy the product, the stock. You are so important. You're the core of that business. They talk about sales and how fantastic they are. And sales are great and they do a wonderful job. But without you guys, they're just emptying warehouses. Okay? So don't be disillusioned about how important your job is. It's very, very important. Okay? The markings for the course is broken into a series of assignments and short tests, and then your written exam at the end. There's four assignments and four short tests. They together make up 30% of the overall marks. So you have 10% for the short tests, 20 for the assignments, and then the written exam at the end is 70%. The pass rate for the overall course is 40%, but you do need to pass the actual written exam. So out of the 70 marks available, you need to be getting 28 out of 70, which is 40%. Now, most people will already have 20-something marks accumulated and earned from their assignments and short tests. So getting there to the pass shouldn't be much more difficult because you've done the work. If you've done well in the assignments, you know the stuff, okay? And the exam itself is never really too far removed from the assignments. So if you do well in them, you're going to ace the exam, okay? We had our first 100% in the last round of exams in risk, of all things. Now, risk is number crunching and it's ratios and it's a very, very difficult subject to get 100% in. We had the first one last term. And she told me the whole way through she didn't know what she was doing. So I rang her and called her a liar. Okay? So I said, you have a difficult job, you have a stressful job, it's the most important job you'll do. Collections, as Tim Paulson said, collections is not, it's not rocket science. It's much more difficult than that. Okay, so, you know, be aware that, you know, what you learn from this, you need to bring to work and you need to implement it. And you will find your job will get so much easier and your results will be so much better. But not only that, it's going to build, not just reflect in your job, but in your personal life as well. There's a lot of personality profiling in this and listening skills and that type of stuff that you won't just use in work, you'll use it outside of work as well. Okay, so it helps with relationships, you know, dealing, negotiating your own credit, all that type of stuff that will stand to you. Okay? We're only coming out of a downturn, I suppose, at the moment, where they're saying things are picking up. I think we're starting to see a few green shoots at the moment. You know, the banks are not lending fully yet. People are still looking for overdrafts and business loans and that type of stuff, and they're not getting them from the banks. But what businesses are forgetting and what they don't realise is they have the answer. A lot of them have the answers to their cash flow problems already in their ledger. They've got ledgers stuffed with money, hundreds of thousands, that they're not collecting. And if they had that money in their bank account, I'm sure they would sleep better that night. So you guys are the key. You guys are the answers. You're going to solve everybody's problems by getting all this money in. Okay? It's also the cheapest form of finance that's available to them. If they're getting bank loans, bank overdrafts, different facilities from the bank, that's all costing money. Okay? But by getting their own money in, they're not going to get any cheaper money anywhere else. And it's their own money and they can do what they will with it. Training in collections is absolutely essential. There's most people's training was, here's a desk, here's a phone, here's a ledger, go get the money. Is that fair to say? You're laughing. That's happened to you, isn't it? Is that what happened? Pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody leaves school and chooses to be a credit controller. I don't think anybody says when they're 17 or 18 in career guidance class, what do you want to do? Oh, I want to collect debt. Nobody says that. It's something that you kind of fall into. It tends to be you apply for an admin position and they tend to be pretty good on the phone. Oh, she's good on the phone. She can build rapport with customers. Give her credit control. And that tends to be how people fall into it. Or it tends to be an element of the accounts position that they're doing and they find people to be pretty good at it so they give them full time. Because it's a job. Nobody likes asking for money. Well, that's not true. I love asking for money. Nobody wants to be the person asking for the money. And what you'll find is the people who are very, very good at it tend to have a fairly easygoing personality. They're proactive, they're problem solvers, and they're able to build rapport with people. People who hate doing it tend to be very aggressive, very curt, and they're not very good at it. They're not getting the results where you guys are probably getting the results because you think you like it. And the fact that you're here today shows that you're serious about your career and credit, so you must enjoy it. Or else you're just suckers for punishment, I'm not sure which. Okay? So, the guys who aren't good at it tend to be fighting with customers. We don't ever fight with customers. And if you've ever fought with a customer, it's the last time you should do it. From today, you will never fight with a customer ever again, no matter what they're like. No matter how much they shout at you, call you names, insult you, we will not fight, we won't react. You catch more bees with honey. Okay, and we'll learn how to do that later on in the course. You're going to learn how to deal with every type of customer, from the curt, the rude, the aggressive, the over-friendly, and the nutcases. Because we've all got them. Yeah, you've obviously got a few, have you? Nutters that you can't get off the phone and you still never get paid from them. We'll show you how to deal with them. So I hope you enjoy the processes. There's going to be a lot of challenges. You will enjoy them. And what we want you to do is whatever you learn in this course, we want you to, the minute you read these notes, we want you to go into work the following day and implement it straight away and see the results. The assignments that you will be getting over the next couple of months, they will be performance-based and based on your implementation of your knowledge. So they're not going to be essay-type questions or essay-type answers. It will be, for example, the section on letters. You learn that, believe it or not, there's a good day of the week to send them out and there's a bad day of the week to send them out. Okay, so we'll go through all that and we'll get you to implement that in work and document your results. So most of it, you're not going to be sitting at home reading books at night and Googling websites and different things. We're going to get you to do it on the job. So it's going to cut down on the home study time, which I'm sure nobody will mind. No? Okay. All right.
At the end of the course, we're hoping that you're going to understand, well, you will understand, the collections process from start to finish, the psychology of the customer, the ways you can solve problems while always focusing on getting payment and receiving payment, getting commitment to payment at the end of every single phone call, okay? And how to move from one to the next, okay? Because there is a process in moving from different collection accounts to the next one. You learn the key to being successful in the role and get the best possible outcome for your own business, okay? Communicate effectively, deal with conflict, both internally and externally. I'm sure you probably spend half your time fighting with sales. Does that happen? And they're the bane of your life. Yeah. But believe it or not, you're more of a salesperson than they ever will. You probably spend more time talking to your customers. You know the customers. You know the problems your customers are having. Does your sales guy know this? No, he's the one getting the commission check. Yeah. And the bonuses. Based on your work. Based on your work. I'm going to show you a way later on of how to command that €120,000 a year salary. It's good, you like it. Honestly, and you're going to send bad debt through the roof and your boss is going to love you for it. Sounds mental, but it's true. Okay, there's different methods of collection. I'm not just talking about checks and credit cards and stuff like that. There's different alternatives to money, and we'll learn that later on. Probably not so much in your game, but in the trade game, certainly. Sometimes we can take a machine in exchange for payment, or maybe a service in exchange for payment. Like if you're dealing with an air conditioning company and they owe you €50,000, but your company needs a new air conditioning system, why not do a barter on that? So everybody's happy, okay? And there's ways around the back and everything, so it works out a little bit cheaper for everybody. You're all from different organisations, backgrounds, you all have different types of customers. You probably all call them different things, like members, subscribers. Do you all call them customers or clients? Or is there anybody here from a credit union? No? No credit unions this term. Credit unions tend to call their customers members, because they're a member of the credit union, so they deal with the member. But for the purposes of this course, we're going to use the word customer, just to keep it clean, okay? As I said, we're all conscious that you've day jobs, you've all got personal lives as well. Ideally, if you could give this a couple of hours a week outside of work and do the rest in work, you won't feel it going and it won't, you know, encroach too much on the personal life, okay? We know kids and stuff like that, it takes time, okay? And I think learning on the job is the best way to do your learning. And you're getting paid to do it, which always helps. Okay, so moving on then. Did Declan tell you he's going to send you out the first batch of notes on Monday? Yeah, okay. So just then, in relation to the syllabus for the first batch of notes. It's going to cover consumer collections and an introduction to it first, okay? Here we go. Margins. So we'll have an overview of consumer credit, understanding the role of credit in business, verbal communication, and then we'll move on to other types of communications, and then understanding the different types of customers. Okay, we're not going to get through it all today. Today is literally just to get you started. The rest of the stuff you will get in the notes as we go along. And you don't need me standing here talking to you about it when it's on here in front of you, and you'll probably do it in your own time and understand it better. Okay, so today I'm just going to run through probably pack one and pack two. Time permitting. Okay, so the overview of consumer credit. Okay. So as I said, that's credit to individuals. Okay, so if you're working for a utilities company, credit card company, home shopping, water charges, you know, whatever type of company you're working for that deliver a product or a service to the general public. And also remember as well, you're all consumers as well, so what you're learning here, you implement it in your own lives, like particularly when it comes to access to credit and borrowing. And we'll go through, there's a thing called matching, which a lot of people get wrong when it comes to borrowing for themselves. Like for example, I don't know if you've ever seen these people where particularly young males, 18, 19, 20 years old, they're just starting to drive and getting insurance, and their insurance is thousands. they'll go along to their credit union or their bank and they'll get a loan for the $5,000 and they'll get it over 5 years, and it might be $4,000 for the car and $1,000 for the insurance. So paying off this loan over 5 years. But next year they're going to need insurance again, and they're still paying for the first lot of insurance. Does that make sense? So they're not matching the lifespan of the product they're buying to the lifespan of the loan. And you need to be absolutely conscious of that. Like, it's like a lot of people would borrow for their holiday. Like, there's no point in borrowing for your holiday and paying for it over 3 years, because you're going to want to borrow again next year for your holiday. Does that make sense? So making sure that you're matching it. And you know what? If you can't afford it in 12 months, you can't afford that holiday. So it's about understanding that as well. We can't have everything we want just because it's more affordable if we paid it over a longer period of time. But that doesn't make sense. Okay? Yay. People see credit. A lot of people see credit as a right, and if they get turned down by the bank or the credit union or whoever the financial institution is, if they get turned down for a loan, for a credit card or loan or whatever, they're offended and they're upset and insulted. I don't know if you've ever found that, particularly with utility companies, I don't mean to pick on you, where you get somebody moving into an apartment and they're told they need to pay a deposit up front in order for electric supply or gas supply or TV supply, whatever it is. And they're offended and upset that they have to pay a deposit. Well, do you know, I don't know you from Adam. I don't know if I can trust you. Of course I'm going to look for something up front. Years ago, we had remember the coin meters that were in apartments and houses where you put in your fibre and you got your fibre's worth of electric. And when your fibre ran out, your electric ran out. That's the way it was. And that's the way it should be. If I can't trust you, I'm not going to give you any more than your fibre's worth of electric. Do you know, that's what we call people expecting a right to credit. It's a privilege. We are so far behind other countries in our credit models and developing a consumer credit scoring model. In the States, they have what's called a FICO score. You can Google it and tell you all about it. It's absolutely amazing. Everybody that lives in America has a FICO score, and that determines their life. Everything from getting a mortgage, how much they can borrow, the interest rate they're paying on personal loans, the interest rate they're paying on credit cards, the whole way down to car insurance. If you've got a better FICO score than me, you'll get a better rate of car insurance than me. That's how important it is over there. Everything is based on their FICO score. We are years behind them here. We have no consumer credit rating at the moment. You can go onto the ICB and they have a report. Well, they call it a report. We wouldn't consider it a report. But if you want, just as a matter of interest for yourselves, go onto the Irish Credit Bureau. It costs you about €6. And you'll get your own credit report. And just have a look and see what information they have on you, because they do get it wrong. But the problem with that is every bank, every credit union, every building society in this country uses the Irish Credit Bureau to find out about you before they will grant you money for cars, mortgages, whatever. So it's worth checking it out to make sure that the information is right and accurate. Okay, because it could, if you were deciding to go and buy a house, for example, and that information is wrong, that could affect you. You don't get in your mortgage.
And so where do they get the information from?
And then your bank
and
your...
They're just accumulating it over the years from banks and credit unions. So if you got a loan from the bank for, say, a car for $10,000, that would be registered with them. And as you make your payments, if you miss a payment, that will go on there. Or if you clear it early or default at the end or whatever, they would have all that information. But you know as well as I do, banks make mistakes, payments get lost. And if you send a payment to if it's not on direct debit, say you're paying them manually every month or every week, and they misplace a payment, it might be a couple of months before you're notified your €200 in arrears. But that's already registered on there. And that can go against you, even though it might be the bank's mistake, because they're not bothered about going and rectifying it, because it's no skin off their nose. They don't care. You know, so it is worth doing that just to make sure the information is right. And it's £6, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Sorry, can you get the information changed then?
You can appeal it, yeah. Yeah, if the information is wrong. So say you were with Bank of Ireland and they said you missed a payment and you know you hadn't. You can then appeal to your bank and say, you're saying this about me, it's not correct, I want to rectify it. And they have to do it because they provided the information in the first place. So they do have to fix it. And it does happen and it does affect people. So it's no harm just to check it out, just to make sure it's right, okay? And I don't know, maybe you might get a heart attack some of you as well. I don't know, maybe if it is the best advice, go and have a look, check yourself out. When you're dealing with consumer credit, you have to be absolutely crystal clear in your terms. So most of you getting your credit card statement or your electric bill or whatever, they will say payment is due on or before X date. The more the clearer your terms are, the more successful you'll be in collections. I think yours have gotten loads of your bills in over the years. They're pretty clear, but you'd be surprised how bad some of them are. Particularly with companies that send statements. Do you guys send statements? Okay, do you ever see these statements?
Statements like that, and you have all these boxes. With 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 6,
and I've seen them up to 12. Now you've seen these statements?
Mm-hmm. And there's 100, 200, 500, 800, 50 euro, whatever, 25.
You finally get on the phone to that customer and you say, did you get my statement? Yes, I did. We're looking to arrange payment. Okay, what'd you find?
I'll send you that.
Because the way they see it, if you've got 6 boxes on the end of your statement, you didn't print them for nothing. There's a reason they're there. So they think they've had all these months the whole way back. That they essentially think it's buying them time. Your statement should be due and past due. Or due for payment now and then the next month, overdue. That's all it should say. So you need to be absolutely clear in your communication what you're telling your people, what you want them to do. Because a lot of them will just follow what they're told. But if they see all these boxes, they're not sure, I've loads of months yet. Don't need to pay that yet. Okay? So the clearer the message, the more successful you'll be. Okay? The role of the collector then. Collections people, there's a difference between collections people and credit controllers. Credit controllers decide who gets credit, how much they get it, who gets credit, how much credit they get, and how long they get it for. With the collections, that's straightforward, get the money in now, it's due. There's two types of collections. There's ones that are employed by a company to collect the credit that's falling due, and then there's debt collectors. When it gets to a point of debt collection, That is when the relationship has failed and you're never going to do business with these guys again. Okay, that's a completely different animal than what you guys do. You're there to maintain a relationship with the customer, keep the customer while getting paid, and keeping your customer current and buying. Okay, there's no regulation in Ireland at the moment for debt collectors. We're really, really bad, and we've got guys going out there kicking holes in people's doors. You know, Viper Collections and these guys. So if you've seen the van going around, they've got a van. Viper Collections. It's that criminal called the Viper, and he set up a collections company. Now, don't get me wrong, I do believe he has a purpose, and there is certain people out there that will understand nothing else than somebody kicking a hole in their door because they've got money, they just won't hand it over. And these are the bad guys. I think 98% of people are good, honest, genuine people, and they will pay. They will pay. A lot of them, okay, they might be slow payers, they don't have it all right now, but they're genuine. You know, intent is to pay their debts. Then you've got the 2% which is blackguards and they're out to do you. That's where he should come in. Okay, now, I'm not recommending you use him. There's plenty of good guys out there that are very, very good. I wouldn't recommend it because his methods are questionable. Okay, but it works, so whatever you're into. Okay, the role of the collector is simply get paid. Get the money, get it into the bank. That's your job. Okay, and you also, every case that comes across your desk, you should be able to find a solution to it, okay? That might be, there's always a third option. You know, it's not just a case of he paid and he didn't pay, so let's cut off the supply or put them on stop supply or hold. There should be always a third solution, okay? And it's down to you guys to find that. And again, we'll go through that later on. Your success as a collector is dependent on your ability to communicate. Communications is the result it achieves. So depending on how good you are communicating, what you want your customer to hear will depend on the result. Now what you say and what they hear are two very, very different things. You might think you're being absolutely clear as day. They're hearing something else completely different on the phone. We'll go through them again later on in the course. There's different personality profiles and different things. And as you get to know this stuff, you will be able to say, well, that person is that type of personality, so I need to deal with them this way, and that person is different, so I need to deal with them a separate way. But we'll learn all that later on as we go through. Okay, so the importance of credit. It's as important as oxygen to everybody. Okay, and don't underestimate it. It has the ability to improve everybody's life. Okay, if there was no credit in this world, how many of you would be driving? How many of you would have your own house? Nobody. Because you'd have to save up your couple of hundred thousand for your house, and God knows how long that's going to take before you go out and buy it. It is so important. Credit makes big purchases of assets into an affordable expense that we can pay for weekly or monthly. And without it, we wouldn't have these things. We'd all be living in rented apartments somewhere, and the fat cats would be getting fatter. And we'd all be just chipping away. We would never have our own house. Probably never drive a car. Probably never have a holiday. You know, probably never do the big things in life that we look forward to every year, okay? It can also be used as a marketing tool for businesses. I don't know if you see these ads on the telly, particularly furniture companies. Buy now, get 0% for so many months. Yeah, if that wasn't there, a lot of people would see these ads, particularly on Stevenson's Day. It tends to be the day they all go out on the telly. So buy your furniture, £5 for furniture, pay nothing for 3 months, and then 0% for X number of months. People will look at that and go, yeah, it's going to cost me 100 quid a month, I can do that. And they run out and they'll buy the new suite of furniture. Whereas if it's going to cost me £5,000, no, I'm not going to do that because I don't have that much money right now. So it's used as a marketing tool. Also, you know, selling mortgages, selling bank accounts, selling loans. You see all the bank ads on the telly, you know, student accounts. It's marketing for them. Get the students in when they're 17, 18, 19, we'll have them for a customer for life, generally. So they use it as a marketing tool as well. So it is very, very important. It makes business go around. Financial literacy is something else we're going to cover. Most of you have no idea what you're paying in interest every month. How many of you could tell me how much you paid in bank charges in the last 3 months? No. You've no idea what you're being charged. And that's you on a personal level with a salary every month coming in. When you're talking business, you could be talking millions every month. They have no idea how much they're paying for bank overdrafts, for credit facilities, for credit cards, bank charges, direct debit processes, no idea. So we're going to go through all that as well. Because these are all things that are costing the business money. Even though it's not direct collections, it adds to the bottom line. Your job is to get money in, to have money in the bank. But if you're collecting all this money and it's going out unnecessarily in all these charges, it's making your job harder. Because your boss is expecting more from you because they've got to pay all these bills. So we'll go through all that as well over the next couple of months. Matching, as I said, is very important. So matching the amount of money you borrow and the term to the value or to the lifespan of that product. So holidays, car insurance. If you're going to go out and buy a 10-year-old car and take out a loan with your bank and pay it off for 10 years, that's insanity. If the car is going to last you 2 years, you pay for it over 2 years. If it's going to last you 5 years, you pay for it over 5 years. Okay, you don't overextend the term. You need to match it, because when the car breaks down you need to go and get another one, you probably have to go and get another one. So there's no point you paying two. Does that make sense? Okay. It sounds sensible, but you'd be amazed how many people don't do it. It's absolutely crazy. I have seen so many cases where people have got 5 and 6 and 7 different credit cards and a car loan and a holiday loan and a Christmas loan and a communion loan and all these. They've probably got 30, 40 grand worth of loans. And they roll them all up together, zero the credit cards and the loans, and put them all on their mortgage. They still have the credit card, and they run out and they max it up again. It's insanity. Absolutely insanity. So just be careful that you are matching and making sure. Now, these guys are putting this debt on their house. They're paying for it over 25, 30 years. So the shoes and the clothes that they bought 25 years ago, they're still paying for it. Come on, be serious, be sensible about this. And that brings us on to remaining in control. What you guys will be learning about control, that it's broken out into different topics. So there's staying in control of your ledger, the priorities you have as a collector and what you need to be doing every day. the approach you have to collections and staying in control of it, managing your workload and your interaction with others. Now, that doesn't just cover the interaction with your customers, that covers the interaction of what we call your internal customers, so it's the other guys that work within your organisation. Staying in control of it, making sure that they are doing what they're doing to enable you to arrange payment to your customers. Okay? It's the most important thing you can do, is stay in control. We're also going to learn later on how to deal with stress and how to manage it. Okay, I'm sure you'd all welcome that. Because I know it can be a very, very stressful job. You've got someone going, we need money, we need money, we need money, but you're getting nothing but problems from another department, so you can't get paid, but yet you're being told, we need money, okay? The role of credit in business then, it's more of a sales function than a finance function. Do any of you report to sales? You all report to finance? I don't know why. It's the way it is across this country. I don't know why. Your job is the completion of the sale. You have clear goals. You make the calls. You have accurate records. You overcome objectives. You hit targets and you get results. What does that sound like? Salesperson. Salesperson. That's what you are. You're the representative of your company. And when you ring your customers and you're getting payment, then that's their commitment to you to say, I am happy with your product, I'm happy with your service, and I'm happy to pay you. So you're salespeople. And don't forget it. This big rift between sales and finance, sales and credit control, should not be happening. You're both doing the same thing, but you're just calling different things. And the only relationship it has with accounting is the numbers.
So we both look after the customer and the end.
Exactly. Yeah.
Aiming for the one thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Supply your service or your product and get paid. That's it. It's exactly the same thing. Okay. Success of any company depends on sales and credit control working together. Like, if you're my salesperson and you're my credit controller and I'm the company and I say to you, go out and sell loads and I'm going to pay you a fortune. Okay? Simple enough. Yeah. I say to you, collect every single penny and have no bad debts. I'm going to pay you a fortune. What am I doing? I'm setting these two up to fight like cat and dog. Because you're going to go out and you're going to write an order to any random that comes past your desk.
Yeah.
And you're going to stop any order that you think you're not going to get paid for. So immediately they're both fighting. They need to be working together for the one goal. Sell as much as they can sensibly to the correct customer who's going to pay and get it paid on time. Okay? Now, there's another side of that as well where a lot of companies are prepared to take a hit to get into a different market. Credit card companies do it a lot. I don't know if any of you remember when MBNA came into the country about 15 years ago. They gave a credit card to any random that asked for it. They had little stalls in shopping centres. Sign up here today and get free telly. I don't know if you remember any of this. Anybody that had a nose in their face got a credit card. But the interest rate was 30-odd%. Something like that. So they knew that we were giving credit cards out to any random that came up to us. 90% of them will pay. We'll lose 10%, but you know what? The 90% that are paying, we're making enough off them to carry it. So they were using credit that way to gain market share, and now they're just another credit card company. They're up charging 30% now, because now they can select who they give their credit cards to. So it can be used as a massive marketing tool as well. Okay. After that, then, we're going to be moving on to communications. So there's different types of the verbal communications that we're going to be going through. That's words, tone, timbre, volume, what you say and what they hear, and developing your own confidence as a collector on the phone. Then there's other communications we're going to cover, be it letter writing, texting, emails, face-to-face meetings, and door-to-door collections. Do any of you do door-to-door collections? No? Sorry?
Not personally.
But does your company?
It will.
It will?
Yeah. Something's looking into.
Everybody move gas company. Probably not Board Gosh itself, but probably an outsourcer. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll be going through communications and what it does and how you do it. As I said, it is the result it achieves. If you don't do it right, it's not going to work. Okay? You need to develop your collection's voice. I mean, do any of you sound the same in here as you do on the phone? No. No, I certainly don't. Certainly don't. There's your collection's voice, and then there's your ordinary voice. Like, for example, Anne Doyle is sitting there reading the news, and she's very stern and very straight. That's not how she sounds in real life. She's there to communicate a message, and that's how she does it. The words you use are the most important tools you have. They paint a picture. But the picture you're painting and the picture you think you're painting, the person on the other end of the phone is probably seeing something completely different. So making sure that you use the right words to get the right result at the end of that conversation is so, so important. How you introduce the call and how you introduce yourself is so important. And particularly in trade collections, when you're building a relationship and building rapport with the accounts payable person at the far side, because chances are you're going to ring in that person every month. So you need to build a relationship with that person. But it depends on how you introduce yourself. So, hiya Mary, how are you? Ah, not too bad. Immediately there's a downward trend on the conversation. It's dull, it's gloomy. But if you ring me, well Mary, how are you? I'm great, how are you? That's completely different. It's a very, very simple thing, but it's very, very effective. There's nothing to say that you have to say, how are you, how's it going, hi, hello, or anything like that. There's no reason why you can't start a conversation. Oh, great to talk to you again. Immediately it raises the direction the call is going to go. It's positive to begin with, rather than, I'm looking to talk to you about your overdue account. Immediately you're like, oh, Jesus. And if I say to you, I'm ringing you about your overdue account, what am I saying to you? You've done something wrong. I'm giving out to you. So immediately your back is like, oh, I'm going to bloody show this one. Don't talk to me like that. So I'm going to fling every excuse in booking you at you. Never sent me the docket. I need a copy. I need a POD. I need a PO. I need something. So I'm going to throw it back at you. But if I'm ringing you, how are you? Great to talk to you again. How's things? Things are great. Just ringing in relation to the account, something to arrange payment. How are you fixed? That's a completely different conversation. So how you communicate is so important. And you could have two customers in the exact same situation, and if you approach them both differently, they have completely different effects. One will write a check for you there and then, another one's going to wait just to annoy you. So it depends on how you approach them, okay? It's a communications business, and you need to communicate at the level of the person you're talking to. I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, treat people how you'd like to be treated. Yeah? No, you teach people how to treat you. If you let them walk on you, they will. And particularly if you've got an accounts payable person and she's paying 100,000 creditors every single month and you're not that higher of a priority for her, you've no relationship with her. Sure, I never hear from them, I'll pay them next week, I haven't time. But if you're her friend and you're talking to her every month and it's a happy conversation, you're asking how she is and how's things and how's the kids and getting to know them, oh, she's a better pay Mary, she's grand. You with me? Does that make sense? From a trade collection point of view. Okay. The words. There are the right words and there's wrong words to use. And the quality of your call will depend on the questions you ask and the words you use. If you look at the words in credit, the ones that we use daily, we're talking credit limits, credit hold, legal action, stop supply, bad debt, delinquency, age debt, debt collection, they're all negative. It's got a very negative image in the world of business. But if we turn that on its head, and instead of using words like overdue, we use collectible. It's the same thing, but it's very different. Yeah, do you ever see the sales guy walks into the Monday morning meeting with the sales director and he's there and he's going, he's got all his lovely graphs. And they're all there and sales are doing great and the contact is great and I've got loads of leads and we're going to sell this much. And then you've got the credit guy comes in, the same presentation. Yep, the ledger is going down. Bad debt is going down. provisions are going down, and so on and so on. Even though what we're saying is good, when you're talking about a director and they're looking at this, who does he think is doing a good job and who does he think is doing a bad job?
Sales.
Yeah, because they're all going up. Even though this is fantastic, bad debts are going down, overdues are going down. He doesn't get that. All he sees is graphs going down, and down means bad in their world. So if we just change it to collections has gone up. New accounts opened, it's gone up. Two simple things. And he's going, God, you did a great job. Does that make sense? But these are things that we don't do every day. And we think we're doing a really good job. The directors are going, all the graphs are going that way. What's going on? They don't get it. They don't get what you do. Half the time they have no idea what you do. You're just the girl in accounts or the guy in accounts. No idea what you do. Okay? So, words. Do any of you use words like but? Normally. Usually. Don't. Not. No. I want you to cut them out of your vocabulary completely. If I say to you, you're doing a great job, but if you did it this way, you'd do it better. What am I saying to you? You're not doing a very good job. But if I say to you, you're doing a great job, and if you do this, you'll do it a whole lot better. That's a different conversation. You're going away going, yeah, I'm doing a great job. You're doing a great job, but kick. I've just kicked you. So we're going to cut those words out of our vocabulary completely, particularly with your customers and more importantly with your children, because children are so clever. If I'm talking to a 3-year-old and you send them that chair and I go, don't jump off that chair, what's he going to do? Jump off the chair. But if I go to him, hold on till I catch you, he's going to wait till I catch you. Your customers and your children are the same. Okay? Normally, usually, I'm looking for a discount. We don't normally give that. You're just telling me you do, but you just don't do it very often. So I'm going to push for that discount. What are your terms? Well, usually they're 30 days. Usually. So sometimes they're not. So I could ask for 90. We might meet in the middle, I'll get 60. Okay? Not and no. If I say to you, do not think of the Eiffel Tower. Our brains can't process the word not. They process the action. Okay, so we're never going to use those words with the customer again. If I'm saying to you, do not do something, that action is going to be in your brain. You're going to go and do it. Do not think of a pink elephant. You think of a pink elephant. It's exactly the same with collections. Don't, not, no. We never use those words. And we'll go through all that later on. This is interesting stuff, and it's fun stuff. And once you get into it, you go, I can't believe I wasn't doing this years ago. You should see your collections go through the roof. Okay, other words, try, just, only. I'm only ringing you about the account. That tells me if she's only ringing me about the account, it's not really that important. I'm just ringing you about the check, so it's not really important. Will you try and do that for me? Will you try and get that check out to me today? Yeah, I'll try, but you know what? If I try, you mightn't bother. It's not that important. Can I collect that check? Would that be in the bank account today? Can I take your credit card? The direct actions. Can I collect it today? Yes, you can. No, you can't. You're getting an answer there and then. So somebody's going to try and get a check out to you today. You don't know if it's coming in or not. You have no idea. So we need to change the words we use. The tone we use on the phone. If I'm ringing you and I go, oh no, it's Mary from Irish Credit Management, just blah, blah, blah. You go, who's this alien on my phone? But if it's Mary from Irish Credit Management, I'm ringing to organise payment, that's a very different conversation. Even though I use the same words, it's a very different conversation. So we need to be aware of the tones that we're using, and we need to be aware of the person that we're talking to and speak to them at their level. Okay, so if you get somebody and you pick up the phone to them and you're ringing them to arrange the payment, say, oh, hello, how are you? Did you see EastEnders last night? And how about Carnation? Yeah, I did. Get all that stuff out of the way and match them. Now, move on to business. Move on to this middle section of the call. It's €500, we want it tomorrow, we'll get commitment to payment how and when. Okay? But if I ring somebody and they say, what do you want? €500. You match them. You match the tone that they're... If they're very curt, you'd be... Not rude, but direct. What do you want? €500. Okay. But if they're chatty, be chatty back. But always end the phone call with how much, when, and how you want it paid. And get the commitment. We'll go through all of this later on in the course. There's different types of people and different types of personality profiles. I see that module 3 or 4, we go through those in later on. There's auditory people, people who hear. And if you say to them, do you see what I mean? They have no idea what you're talking about. But if you say to them, do you hear what I'm saying? Yeah, I do. Because that's the way they process information. But you're saying the same thing. It's just how you say it. There's visual people. Do you see what I mean? Yeah, I do. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? What? No, I don't. So it's how you approach them. And we'll go through, there's different types. There's 16 different types of personality profiles on this earth. There's 7 billion people, and we all fall into one of those 16 boxes. It's actually very interesting to go through it and find out what kind of person you are yourself. Okay? And then you can profile your customers then as well. And your family and friends. And yeah, you're one of those ones. But it's interesting stuff. And when you Google it, there's a wealth of information that comes up. Even down to different jobs that would suit you when you Google it. Different types of music you like. Different activities. The types of holidays you should go on that suit your personality type. It's amazing stuff. It's brilliant. We'll go through all that later. Kinesthetic people, and they're people who feel. So how are you feeling? Do you understand? That's how they communicate. But do you see what I mean? To one of those people, it's not going to work. Then there's the digital people, the factual people. They want to know amounts. They want to know dates. They're just very methodical in what they do. Okay, and they're very digital robots. Okay? So again, we'll go through all of those later on. Do all of you or any of you send letters to your customers? Yeah? And who taught you to write a letter? Who taught you how to write letters, business letters?
Template.
And who taught them? Mrs. Maloney in second class. That's who taught them. Dear so-and-so, 2 fingers in. I am writing to you because I am writing to you because, well, I've got a letter, that's bloody obvious. Okay, we're going to show you how to write a proper business letter. There's 3 stages, 3 short paragraphs. It's, dear mister, dear customer, dear whoever it is, you owe €500. This is how you can pay it. And if you don't, this is what's going to happen. So it's the fact. The remedy, and if you don't do it, this is what's going to happen. Okay, not and if you have paid in the meantime and there has been a crossover, we apologise profusely. You know, this all this nonsense that you see in letters, Joe, if you bloody paid it in the first place, I wouldn't have to write to you. So I'm not apologising. Don't be right. I'm not writing to you for the sake of licking stamps. You know, I'm writing to you for a reason. You owe it. We want it. We'll also go through the stages of the call, how you open a call, the middle and the end. So the opening is the tone, and also it's very important that you verify who you're speaking to, particularly in consumer credit. If you're ringing, like, Ireland is great, you've got 3 John Murphys living in the one house, granddad's son and grandson. Can I speak to John Murphy and put you on to the granddad who's 108 and had never had a credit union loan in his life? I'm ringing you about the €500 you owe me, and he's having a heart attack. But it's actually the grandson who's wrote off his car. And it's not paying his loan anymore. That's the guy you're after. So it's so important that you do verify who you speak to. But not only from speaking to the right person, also from a data protection point of view. If we make a mistake now under data protection, we could land our company in so much trouble. You're not allowed to speak to anybody about somebody else's account. Even the wife or the husband. We can't do it. We shouldn't do it. We're not allowed to do it. Or we can get in trouble. So particularly if you've got a guy whose back is against the wall, he's got no money and all his creditors are kicking a hole in his door, and you make a mistake, he's going to think, ah, I'll sue you, I'll get a few bob. This happens when people's backs are really against the wall and they come out fighting. So we just have to be so, so careful about who we're talking to and what we're saying. So verifying who you're talking to. And even in the business world, ringing a company and speaking to the receptionist about a bill that her boss hasn't paid is a no-no. You find out who you need to talk to, who looks after the accounts payable or your particular account. You find out and speak to that person only. Now, if you want to leave a message, that's fine. It's Mary from such a company. Can you ask her to ring me? But don't leave the details of what it's about, because it's just leaving ourselves open. They can get very, very funny about it. The fact finding, then the middle part of the call, the fact finding, how much, when, where is it going, and then closing the call and the commitment to the payments. So you're telling me it's going to go by bank transfer on Friday afternoon, so I shall have Friday evening. Yes. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you next month. Okay? We'll show you what's called a collection funnel. Every company and every business should have a collections funnel. It's literally your process of how you do things. So the first of the month, send a statement. Third of the month, follow up with a call. You know, just have your process of what you do and when you do it. And you should stick to that rigidly. Now, it might take you a couple of months to find out what works for your business. But once you get it right, that should be your template going forward. And it should work. So if you have to go on holiday or you're taking a sabbatical or whatever, happens that somebody else can walk in who's after been trained, gone through their course, and take over from you, and business will continue as normal. Okay, so we'll go through that, but it should be a process, and you have different processes for different customers. Like if I'm selling food, for example, if I'm the Musgraves in this world and I've got Dunn Stores who are ordering millions every month, and I've got the little corner shop who's ordering 500 quid every month, I'm going to have a completely different process for those guys. Guy who owes me 500 quid, if he's not paid by day 28, I might put him on hold or put him on cash only. If Dunn's are late by a couple of days, then we're not going to say anything as Dunn's, you know. So it, you will have a different process for different customers. Your definition of actions and the process to your approach to collections, we've done that. And then we'll go on to the section on managing stress. And this is so important. There's also a little bit in there on consumer legislation. I'm not going to get into it. Read through it in your own time when you get to it. It's not going to be the end of the world when it comes to collections, but you just need to be aware of it. I can't find it at the moment. There is a whole section on managing your own stress. But look, lads, you're only working so many hours in the day. There's only so much you can do. The best thing you can do is manage. Split everything into important right now and not important right now. And then there's important, urgent, not important right now, and not quite so urgent. You will split things into different boxes. What's important is keeping your boss happy. That's the best thing you can do. And if he's happy with your performance, nothing else matters. Now, depending on what his expectations are will depend on what you do first on Monday morning. Now, you all know your own bosses, you all know your own jobs. You'll figure out the blanks in between yourselves by knowing your own positions. But it will show you how to manage your own stress levels to make sure that you are not tearing your hair out at the end of the day, trying to do everything. It's called monkeys on our back. Have you ever heard of that? Mm-hmm. If every problem I have is a monkey and it's on my back, at the end of the day I'm walking around like this, the monkey's on my back. But if I can delegate and give you a monkey, and give you a monkey, and give you a monkey, at the end of the day I have no monkeys. And I'm walking around freeze bird. And that's what makes good managers. And you're managing your ledger. Let's manage it properly. I'm running out of voice. I don't think there's anything else I can say to you today that's going to help you. You'll get the notes on Monday. Go through them. Oh, the short test. There's the first. You'll get a short test with every module that you get. What I suggest you do is print it off, and as you're going through the notes, fill it in. Okay, and these all add to your end results, your final marks. So if you're filling it in as you go through, I know you've read it if the answers are there. So you're not going to be questioned on it. But one of the most important things is on the top, there's one. the section for your name. Like, you're going to fill this in on your screen and email it back. Will you make sure your name is on it? Because the number of ones I get back, and they're 100% correct, I have no idea where they're from.
They're yours.
All right, okay. Look, I'm not going to hold you up anymore. It's Saturday afternoon. It's a nice day. I'm sure you all have money to spend and all off to Brown Thomas now. Thanks for your time. Thanks for coming in. I'm not rushing off anywhere, so if you have any questions, I'm here. Have any of you got any questions on that section? No? I'm sure you have a million. You'll think of all in this box 7. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Those who go out Monday, my phone is always on.
You're not. I don't do the Monday, I was Monday.